This week on RSBNB Update, the Bank Rework Taster is here, and while it delivers, we taste the bitter and the sweet. Also, preparation for Game Blast and Double XP Weekend, plus more thoughts on Cole and the ethics of transferring GP between games. This is RSBNB Update, episode 659, recorded Thursday, February 22nd, 2018, a null reference exception. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update. This week, we're back to discuss the bank rework taster, which is a bit of a preview of the actual bank update that we'll be getting later this year. Tanis, you're here. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And also to discuss this I was going to say from a mechanical perspective, but I think we always do that. And, you know, I just hope that we're not very sad after we leave here, because I know you bring the truth.
I mean, if you want to, I can just shut my mouth the entire
episode. No.
He decides to point.
I think we have a nice balance, a nice mix, you know? It's like a melting pot here. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be a ray of sunshine for you.
All right. So this is the update that's supposed to, you know, make everyone look forward to the bank update and kind of tide us over until it arrives. Though, I mean, I guess depending on some of the people I talked to this week, if rather than tiding us over, they'd want to pop a Tide Pod in their mouth and instead of playing the bank rework update. That's the level of people that I have talked to this week regarding this, and that I have talked to people who feel that this update should not have come out this week.
Like, who are you? Like, I'm floored. Like, they're passionate about it.
Well,
they're passionate that it's.
Well, they're not. Well, they're not passionate in the sense that it's flaming. You know. You know.
Well, what we need though, what I want to hear from you guys, and then maybe I can try to come from a different point of view, but what was promised that wasn't delivered?
Okay.
That's what I want to know.
So basically what you get with the bank rework is the following, or the bank rework taster. You get the ability to access Diango directly from your bank. Now, when you access Diango's holiday item and outfit retrieval mode, you can pull them out and you can then wear them. But there is no way to put that item back in your bank directly, or rather, there's no way to put that item back in Diango directly from your bank. You need to destroy that item. And that, for me, kind of broke the immersion a bit. The second thing that was promised that we did get was costume room access, where you can pretty much access any hotspot in your costume room directly from your bank. So let's say you have your Black Knight's armor, your Elite Black Knight's armor there, and you want to pull that out, you can do that. Now, if you have items in your bank that are wearable and can get put into the costume room, when you access the costume room, you do have an option to deposit it into the costume room. The third thing that we got with this that's major is the bank cleanup mode. This will show you items that aren't no longer needed or items that can be stored with Diango, and this, in effect, frees up bank spaces and whatnot. Now, what also did come with this is a new bank UI ribbon bar at the bottom with a bunch of little icons to toggle all these modes. I don't think there's any problem with those buttons down there, is there? Like, to toggle the cleanup mode, the costume room mode, and the Diango mode.
Now,
no, not that.
Imagine
one.
You're a new player and you open the bank for the first time. That's like 20 buttons. I'm not even exaggerating. That's 20 buttons or so in the bottom ribbon.
Well, there are like 20 buttons in the bottom ribbon. There's 11, 12, 18, 22, 23 buttons in the bottom rows right now.
That's it feels too many to me. Like, they also have vastly different features. Like, one of them opens Django's interface, and the other opens like something completely else. And I don't have the bank interface in front of me. Is it a news post by any chance? No, it isn't. But like, there's also buttons that deposit your entire inventory. There's buttons that open in preset. Like, they're all sort of bunched together, and they're sort of grouped, but I feel the distinction is not enough, and the buttons are not explanatory enough by themselves if you don't know what they do.
Right. You need to effectively mouse over and wait for that mouse over text to appear to know what's going to happen with that.
And I also find it hard, even if I know what the buttons do, if I want to find a specific button, I feel I have to scan through them. Maybe yep. I have to get used to the interface, but it's such a big block of buttons. I just want to find what I want to do.
I mean, I think that's fair, but at the same time, like, and you know, keep in mind, too much clutter is a problem for me. But I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at an inventory bag as a button. Okay, that's my inventory. Drop that off in the thing. I'm looking at a little guy.
Those buttons are fine.
Drop my. Right, but on the other side, you got what, a trash can and a house? That's pretty self-explanatory. The only one that's a real problem is Django, because I don't know what that means. Like, that's just I don't get that.
Really? That's a trash can?
Next to the house? That's what I see, like a recycle bin looking thing. Like your bank filter, the filter for your cleanup items?
So, the bottom ribbon used to be sort of a site thing. Now, if you open the bank interface now, what is the first thing your eyes are being drawn to? To me, it's the massive ribbon in the bottom.
Yeah.
That's what I see my eyes being drawn to all the time. And I'm like, oh, I don't need that stuff. I need the actual content of the bank.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what it comes down to with this is it's the manage presets button and that row right above it. Because recall that Manage Presets used to be its own button that was next to the counter of how many slots you had available. But the problem I think we have right now is that the bank itself is not horizontally expandable. You can only increase the size of your bank vertically. So that button had to go somewhere. And, you know, I can see that as a stopgap feature until we get the bank rework. But as it is right now, is it worth adding this extra level of confusion to the bank to bring this feature set out?
I don't find it confusing, though. Like, I've got manage presets on the left. You got load the presets on the right. You just hit control and whatever number. That is. I mean, there's a lot of them, and most people probably don't even have 10 presets. So, like, I don't know if we need all of them, but, like, it's really, I don't know. I don't find it that hard to use or that much of a problem.
I mean, it's not hard to use. It's just your eyes are drawn to that immediately, and it detracts from the rest of the bank. As Sirion said.
Oh, I know what's going on here. I only see part of the screen at a time. So when I'm looking at the ribbon, that's all I'm looking at. That has to be the difference here. Because I don't have it's not sticking out to me at all. It doesn't seem to be an issue.
I mean, I don't think it's a major, like, blocker for this update. Like, if this was the only problem with the update, I would have forgiven them and be like, all right, this is what we sort of expect from Jagex. Like, they don't think their UI true. They have shown that time and time again.
All right.
So I could have lived with that, but it's like it's an eyesore, and it's like when you go into these interfaces, the little lock thingy and like all these sub interfaces, those interfaces feel slapped together.
Yes,
they feel dysfunctional,
and that's
they
the next feel... thing.
And so you were talking about Django.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
And,
but it's the same as what he has, right? Like, normally, when you go see him?
Yeah, but in the context of the bank, like, it feels they added a button, go back to bank, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to... I it's nice you don't have to run to the anger anymore, but does it really add anything?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to give a good example of this. Now, the vast majority of you guys out there listening use Windows, and I use Windows a bit too. So imagine this as the use case that we're seeing right now. So imagine you're browsing in Windows Explorer, and you want to get the statistics on a folder, and you want to see how big that folder is. Well, you right-click that folder, and you choose Properties. Now imagine if, when you right-clicked and chose Properties, the window that explains how much size that folder is taking up and all the other little ways you can manipulate that folder appeared and took the place of Windows Explorer, of the Windows Explorer window. That's what I feel like is happening here with the Django and costume room interfaces. It is, you know, just taking the place of the bank, and it doesn't feel right. It would be nice if the Django window, for example, could float off to the side, maybe, or if the costume room window could also float off to the side with this. And I'm guessing, I don't know if this is true, but when the actual bank rework arrives, I would hope it would be that way, and that you could drag back and forth between the two of them.
So I want to sort of go back to what Tana said about, is there any feature that they promised that they didn't deliver? And I think the answer to that is no. I think all the features that we asked for and that they announced, they're here.
That's true.
It's the like only the bare minimum of each of them, but they're here. And now, having seen this, I think the question that rose up with me, and maybe with you as well, is, all right, we have these features. Is this really what we want? Because if I look at Django, if I look at what's being stored in my POH, I have the feeling that we need to rethink the bank in a more revolutionary way. Like, what I think this has exposed the problems with the whole bank and all the secondary storage places we have in general. I think all these problems we are describing existed, but have now been amplified and made transparent by the fact that they're all in a single interface.
Right.
And I think we have to think about this. Like, why are there two places to store your armor in the first place? Why can't it be both in your POH and in your bank? Why is it not always by default in your POH? If you want to get armor of your bank, why don't you go to the armor section of your thing, which is linked to your POH? If you want to get a skilling outfit, why don't you go to the skilling outfit section of your bank and get it from there?
You know, someone told me this exact same thing, and it might have been you before this update came.
That's the first time I've heard it put that way. That makes sense to me, because when I think bank rework, I'm thinking, there's nothing to rework. Give me placeholders. You just added the stuff that I need to get to. And for just a person that's looking at just, I just want to get in there and get out and get my stuff and not have to run all over Gillenor to try to get my different things. It works for me. But I haven't thought about it in the terms of, it would be nice if you could access it anywhere and it was sectioned off like that. Like, that to me is the only thing that would make sense at this point with the rework.
I think you need to rethink this. Like, we know where the bank came from. Like, the bank was the first thing, and then I don't know when Django came along. I think that came along with the holiday events.
Yeah, right, probably.
That used to be aesthetic items only. Yes. So, you know,
I think he started keeping things in around 2005, give or take, with the yo-yo and stuff.
Yeah, so it didn't used to be like a storage thing. It used to be a reclaim interface, because bank space was very limited, especially for free players. It's a bit better now, but it was very limited. So that's why that came along. And then the POH, same thing, construction, adds some benefits to that skill, put some items there. That's sort of how these things entered. But now, anno 2018, if you want to merge that together, like, these secondary storage systems needs to be unified back in, I think, because you can't just slap the existing systems on top of a bank that is in itself already a bit icky to use at times.
Yeah.
And
Yes, that's where he came from. Dienga was added into game on April 1st, 2004, when Jagex added Dragon Plates to the game.
So I think that is sort of where we should be going with the whole bank rework. I think we should consider what we have to do with all these secondary places. It's hard, but this is an example of how sometimes a rework, you can't just take it halfway because that.
And I see that now. And
Well,
who has thought about the bank in that way before? And this is moving towards a more abstract view where the bank is in effect of going to become a bigger inventory for you, and you're just going to be storing things in there temporarily because you're going to have your armor stored somewhere else virtually. You're going to have your costume items stored somewhere else. You're going to have all your holiday items stored somewhere else. You could perhaps even have all your herbs and potions stored somewhere else.
I mean, I'm gonna segue into the mining and smithing beta where
Okay.
all your ores and bars are
Right.
stored in the hopper.
Right.
What? Why is that a new system? Why is that not your bank? Why?
That's a very good point. And, looking at it from that perspective, there's going to be no reason to store ores and bars in the banks going
I
forward.
mean,
right.
I mean, I'm
But
not saying that each hopper should turn into a bank box, right? They should maybe only be able to access the ores and the bars and whatever. But why is that still separate from your bank?
you should.
I think the bank should be the
Yes.
overarching thing where you can access anything. And then, like, these hoppers is sort of like you can access part of your bank, but not all of it.
And fish boxes, for example, at the waterfall, that could be a box where you only access your fishing items.
Two leprechaun,
There you
leprechauns,
go.
leprechauns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think like you guys look, you make sense, but I also feel like that's is a very like development heavy point of view. Whereas when and that's cool. I mean, we need that. We need that kind of feedback because I think that's what helps them. But as a player, not knowing anything like this, I'm looking at this works. And if you give me one more thing, that's cool because I'm not looking at a, I mean, an ugly UI. It wasn't that big of a deal. But more importantly, I don't want you taking all the resources. I know this is what you're going to tell me. You don't have enough resources to give us all the other content that you promised because now you have to work on this bank rework that the average player, even though we spend the most amount of time in the bank rework or in the bank, you're not going to feel it. You're just not. It is not a new boss. It is not a quest. It is not any of these things. There's no glitz or glamour or bling on it. And a lot of people would feel like it was wasted resources. I feel like.
And that's where it comes down to messaging.
I completely get where you're coming from.
Me
I
too.
think it is. I mean, yes, I would like to see, I don't know, two or three quests instead of the bang rework, but these bad systems, I'm going to call them bad, even though they're not really bad, they just need improvement. These bad systems are going to add up over time. And that is why the ninja team came in, right? They originally came there to take on these problems and fix them. Because over time, they start to go really heavy on your overall game experience. Like, how often do you interface with the bank on a day?
Numerous times, numerous.
If that was even, I mean, there's a trade-off thing. I'm not expecting Jagex to completely throw everything aside and work on completely redoing the bank. But I think it's a fact that it's a core element of RuneScape gameplay. The bank is a central thing.
It's as
If you
central
can
as
make
chat.
that. Yeah, so I feel if you can make that better, you should do so. You should give it some attention. But it's a trade-off. I think it needs to be done over time in small steps. Is today's or this week's update a step towards that end goal? Yes. Do I like how they've done it? Not really. But I can look at it in the greater picture and say, all right, they're tackling some issues.
We're on the right
Is this
track.
on the right track?
But this,
If
and
you
this can
look
be
at this update on its own, I think it's missing the target.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And one question I would like to pose to Jagex is, has there been any thoughts about the interaction of the mining and smithing update and that hopper with the bank rework?
Well, you would hope so.
I think that would be a good
I
question to ask right about now.
But in general, and I asked this both of you because I want different perspectives on this. Because this bank rework, I can almost guarantee you that no expert interaction designer would have signed off on this, right? I can tell you that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Would this update have been better without additional effort or much additional effort from the developers if an expert interaction designer had been involved?
I'm going to say that the interaction designer probably wouldn't have let it out the door in its current state.
Probably.
I'm going to have to say that I can only use deductive reasoning to know what an interactive designer is.
So an interaction
So, yes,
designer.
probably.
Yeah, interaction
Oh.
designer is an expert in designing visual things, generally interfaces and websites, in a way that they're most usable and accessible to users. I think that's a bit of a summary.
Yeah.
It's the
Well, they
person
obviously
that
don't have anybody
designs
like
how
that.
the user interacts with an object or a service. And I think that is maybe my biggest criticism. It's not the features, it's the fact that the features haven't been thought through,
Yeah.
and that even without additional effort, it could have been better. It's all about targeting, right? It's about doing the things that really matter instead of focusing on the things that might not matter.
Well, if that's what that expert focuses on and does, then doesn't that kind of maybe answer the question of what they said about mobile and the bank work having to come after mobile? Because there's going to be a lot of interfaces and a lot of UIs, and a lot of that work's going to have to be done on that before you'd ever get to the other side to do a bank rework. So maybe there is one of them
No,
people,
that's
one does
actually
focus on that.
really interesting, because let's actually look at the wording here. The bank rework is a mammoth undertaking. All right, we accept that. It's code going back to 04, and a lot of it is dependent on the release of RuneScape Mobile. So if RuneScape Mobile is released, that means that certain resources are free to work on the bank rework, but what I have heard on stream implies that it is the engine team that we're waiting for from mobile. That's what's been
I
implied
mean,
to me.
right.
I find the wording a bit misleading. Because depends seems to imply that there is like an actual dependency on RuneScape Mobile being done
Right.
first, but it sounds like it's prioritization, and that's not a dependency. But this is the second time they use that specific word, so I wonder if there's anything about the RuneScape Mobile development that
Yeah.
is necessary.
I think the news postings come from the actual team, don't they?
I don't know. But it would be dependent if you had to have someone that was checking those UIs. And they only can work on one thing at a time.
I
That
think,
could be.
yeah.
I don't think you need a full time effort to design the interface of RuneScape Mobile, but it could be. But yeah, I think. I don't know what I think, actually.
And you know, that's as I'm in the same boat here. I'm left with more questions than when we started this. I was content to come in here and say that the features we got work, but it feels like it was hastily put together. And, you know, that's fine, but is that what we should be expecting from RuneScape in 2018? That's what I was content to come into here to say, but I feel like there's more questions that have now been raised that we don't have answers to regarding this.
So what were your expectations?
My expectations?
Going into this update, what did you expect?
Well, I expected to receive the Diego interaction, the costume room interaction, the cleanup, and what I was hoping with this is that you would be able to, in effect, have an easier way of inserting back to Diego rather than pulling out, destroying, having that appear. That's one of them. And
what led you to that expectation?
What led me to that expectation is that it just seems like that would be a natural flow rather
okay,
than
that's
inserting.
Like it's, because like if I listen to Tennis, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, he just expected the features we got. That's all he expected. So he's not disappointed in the update. You are, because you had bigger expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's accurate.
I'm
that's
curious, where did those expectations come from?
Yeah.
But sorry, I was cutting you off, Tanis.
No, that's completely accurate. I mean, because honestly, I was kind of like surprised coming in. I figured everyone would like it, but I definitely see, and I wanted to like have, I thought we were going to have more of a conversation on, do we even need to go further than this or whatever? And I was like, yeah, well, you know, I want to hear what Sirion has to say about we're going on from here. And so I was a little surprised that like it didn't hit, because I was like, to me, we have what they told us we were going to have. But we've spent the last year of tempering our expectations in that way. So I don't know. But I also think like, I just don't have the knowledge that you guys have. So I mean, I expected exactly what they said and nothing more, nothing less. There was nothing in my head that would show me what it could be, whereas I think you guys know what it could have been.
Right. And, you know, it ticks the list of requirements off. And I think we can all agree with that, right? That's something we all agree mm-hmm. with. We did not get conned here. We got what was promised in this. I just wanted it to feel more polished because, you know, I looked at this UI and like you said, Siri, on the bottom part, that just didn't sit right with me. Then I go into the Diego tab and I can withdraw items, but I can't put items back in. And to me, that caused a little thought loop in my head. Do I really need to destroy an item to put it back into Diego?
Well, I mean, that has to be tied to the whole system of Diego, right? Because you have to pay, you still have to pay to reclaim them and stuff like that. So it's not like it's just basically, it just moved Diego to where you can access it through your bank, but it didn't change any of the systems of Diego.
Right.
Like the same thing with the costume room. Like it's just, it just moved it so you can access it to your bank. I don't know though, but that's exactly what I thought they said they were doing.
And I think that is important. Like they call this a bank rework taster, but in effect, this is a patch up, right?
Yes.
This is adding some low hanging fruit, how we call that, like features that are quick to implement, have a fairly big win, but that's it. Like they didn't do anything that was complicated. And I think that is maybe the context we have to see it in. I would have liked if they spend at least some time thinking about the UI, because I think in the overall image, the feature set improved, but I think the interface has become more harder to get into for new players and existing players alike. So I think they sacrifice some of that to get these features to us. I think I wish they had more consideration for that. But otherwise, I think sometimes you have to just step back a bit and be like, okay, what is this update really about? And in this case, it was about bringing these features, which are highly requested by players, to the bank and take out some of the bother until they can do this full rework, which apparently is going to take another year, because that's probably the least time it's going to take for iOS Mobile to come out and the bank rework to be done.
And I agree that it could be like that. This is probably harder for a new player to, you know, navigate and stuff. Once you learned it, you'd be fine. But it would be a little bit harder for a new player to kind of figure out what all the buttons were.
Yeah, I mean, you just got a mouse over them.
Yeah, I think like even we are still getting used to the interface. I'm pretty sure that in a couple of weeks, I won't no longer be bothered by the new ribbon. It will just be there. Like there's always this change of version you have to fight up against.
Oh, I got an idea. I'll let you finish though.
Like there's always this change of version you have to fight up against, and usually our players can deal with change pretty well. I think if there is enough of a return, if the features are like really good, I just feel that the features don't really add that much value to me that it is worth sort of getting to this. And I guess it's my game developer background and just like to think like be more of a visionary, right? I sort of see in front of me like how these systems could be if we had infinite engineering resources. It's just, I find it fun to think about that, but I let it cloud my expectations when these updates come out. It was that case with the achievement system. It was that case with this update. There's probably have been plenty of other things where like, there's just so much potential in these updates, but they are slapped together in a few months because we want weekly updates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we've already been down the other route, so so we got weekly updates.
I'm going to suggest something that's going to make this a little bit better. What would you guys say to moving the presets button? And it doesn't need to say manage presets in full. It could just be, you know, like some icon or whatever, and put it up next to the close and I button for information up at the top or at the top left of Bank of RuneScape.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fine with me. It really wouldn't bother me where they're at. I'm just happy they're there, you know.
But then you can see that they wanted, obviously, the presets to be down at the bottom. So you can just click 1 through 10.
I mean, I think they need to do more with horizontal screen space. I think coming back to what you said before, there is space on the left and the right of this interface where you could do more stuff. I think they need to use that space and be smarter about how things interact.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this is the first step along the way. It doesn't harm the current bank interface, I want to say, right?
Right. Which is probably their golden rule when it comes to banks, right? Do no harm. Because that, talk about a riot. Ooh, don't mess up the bank.
All right, I'll admit, like, there's no major setbacks to the bank.
Yeah, and
also I'm looking at the bank interface on the wiki because like I don't have the game open right now, and I'm putting it next to the very first bank interface. And I realize it can always be worse.
That's good to remember. Yeah.
Even OS2 didn't have any tabs to begin with.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so perhaps we were just being a little
simple.
Perhaps we were just being a little hard on it.
I mean, I'm always hard on updates, I feel.
And that's why we like you. You're hard yet kind.
Fair but balanced.
Hey, yeah, I would. Yeah, Sirion's balanced and he's fair, right?
Maybe. I mean, I am just comparing the current interface with the 2008 interface of the bank, and its 2008 interface looks just cleaner.
Right.
But well, time's gone by.
And that's why I knew we'd have a good discussion, because I usually shoot from the hip and go with my gut. So here we go. We had a good balance, a good discussion.
They did indeed hotfix in an ability this week into the bank rework so that you can now drag and drop your presets. So if you go to the Manage Presets window, you previously would have had to recreate them. Now you can just drag and drop that list of presets as if it was a table and sort it the way you want. Okay.
Yeah,
I have a nice to share with you, which is a mock-up of the bank rework.
Okay, let's see what we got here. So this is a mock-up of the bank rework, and for those of you guys watching on video, you guys will be able to see this.
But look at like the difference between that and the old interface.
Right.
Doesn't it look much cleaner?
Yes, it does.
Yeah it does. Yeah,
so, you know, looking at this, I have hope that the final product will still be great. But like, also looking at this, especially you, Tannis, because you were going to ask, do we really need more? But if I show you this mock, is this worth development time getting this instead of what we have now?
Boy, that's where the rub's at, because this is prettier. It's easier to use, but I don't know. I mean, for me, maybe I would lean towards that, but I just don't know if the average person would lean towards that. Because honestly, you guys gotta realize that I really, truly believe that the average player wants placeholders, and that is what bank rework means to them. That's what they want, and that's what we really want.
I am of the opinion, and I might be wrong, so let me say my intuition tells me that that is what players say they want, but it's not what they actually want. And I think there's a difference there that it's important to keep in mind.
Yeah. And I can see a reaction coming to this bank rework mock-up here that you have showed us that will be similar to when NXT first arrived and people saying, oh, why do we need shadows like that? Why do we need water effects like that?
Right.
RuneScape's just fine as it is.
And boy, I don't want to be in that camp. Nothing good usually comes from that camp. I'll change. I'm willing to change. I don't know. I do like the look of that mock-up. So what do you think that takes in development time? And what would we be losing? What are we giving up to get that?
Ooh. Now it's your turn to put me on the spot. I have no idea. It really depends on how much their code is, how much they have to rework. If this was a single person working on it, which no, but like it could be two people, but then it takes half the time, right? But a single person working on this,
I don't want to think about that.
Just implementation time of this interface is probably about 2 weeks of work. This is like, please don't quote me on this.
This is purely back of the envelope guesswork, right?
So
and whatnot.
Maybe about 2 weeks to implement this whole interface. Probably about another 2 to 3 weeks to rework like all the underlying systems. At like another 2 weeks or whatever other things are necessary. So like 1.5 month to 2 months of implementation time for a single person, I think. And that is excluding the need of interface skins, icons, QA,
localization,
all that stuff. Localization. And that is probably underestimating the effort.
Well, if you're even remotely close to a ballpark number, I think that's totally acceptable, because I was thinking like 6 to 8 months, but I don't know anything. I only know that what Jagex says on stream, which is, I don't know, it's going to be rough. I don't know.
It depends on how much they need to rewrite the underlying systems. If they need to completely rewrite the entire bank system, all the interfaces that sort of interact with it, then maybe 6 months for a single person. It's not too far off, but that sounds like a lot of work. Also, the time I'm thinking of is full-time working on this project, and I doubt that anybody works on one project full-time.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I know there's – I actually know for a fact there's going to be lots of code that needs to be reworked under the hood, because they said something back in the day that the current bank as it is right now, just as an example, doesn't actually have tabs. That's just a visual representation of them. And they said that when a couple months ago they pushed the Ninja fix so that if you're withdrawing items quickly from your bank, you wouldn't occasionally see the picture change up in the top tab of your bank.
Mm-hmm. Well, and didn't they? They said they only had two people that knew how the bank worked, which was kind of scary. But I'm pretty sure it's what they had said a few months back. Or yeah, like the underlying code, so I don't know.
That is quite scary, but also an inevitability of any software project.
Especially one that's 14 years old.
Right.
So.
Like, I would be surprised if there's any JMOD that knows how the code of Fishing Trawler works, for example.
Yeah, that would make sense, because Fishing Trawler was what, 03?
I don't even know how to play Fishing Trawler. I'm a player. I can't even play that game.
All right. So bank rework, I think we can sum this up nicely as saying that it delivers on the features that it promised, but it kind of feels like it was hastily put together, and the user interface right now leaves a lot to be desired, and it certainly feels like a stopgap measure until the actual bank rework arrives.
Agreed.
So,
agreed.
I mean, it could be better, but
could also definitely be worse.
Precisely. It could be worse, a lot worse. And like we said, aside from a little bit of a visual double take when you open up the bank for the first time after this update, it really doesn't hurt the usability of the bank right now. And I think that's the key part of this update that we need to be talking about. So. All right, so there's the bank rework update. I don't think there's anything else on that. So this weekend, of course, is double XP weekend. If you guys are listening to this, I have tried to get the podcast out early for double XP weekend for those of you guys who start on Friday.
Woo woo!
Jagex has released the full Game Blast 2018 schedule about what's going to be happening there starting on Friday. And they also have a little bit of a primer on what special effect does, but we'll talk more about that later. Right, Tanis?
Oh, yeah.
Schedule starting at 12 UTC. Welcome to Game Blast, Team Challenges. Mod Max Energizing Dance Class at 1400. That should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Codemasters in Dirt 4 at 1600. I don't is that something game development related, or is this referring to the video game Dirt 4?
Codemasters is the game company that made Dirt 4.
Oh, too bad.
Okay.
1,000 screw scrolls. Clue scrolls.
What's a screw scroll, Shane?
I have no idea.
Is that like the old, like before Tinder, you had a screw scroll? You just...
Back in the old days of scrolls, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Gaming Pictionary with Mod Wolf. Anything else on here you guys like the idea of?
Oh. I mean, I'm a big fan of Frontier Developments as a game company, so...
What'd they make?
Planet Coaster and Elite Dangerous,
oh.
Both of which are fantastic games.
All right. Okay. Wonder if Mod Mark's going to be doing anything here this year.
Yeah, get their stream banned again.
Gmod trolling with Mod Archie, of course. Of course, that would be Mod Archie for that. Yeah, but that's what we can expect to see for the Game Blast 24-hour live stream there. Should be a good amount of fun. There's also going to be appearing a Game Blast 2018 bundle that you can purchase for 400 rune coins. So there's that. And there's also the auction that's going to be held on eBay with a number of, let's just say, very exclusive items that Jagex is going to be providing here. I know one that I saw was a tour of the studio.
Oh, wow.
I have scrolled, like, to some of these, and, like, how some of the things, it surprises me how much money people are willing to put down for it.
Let's see. Like,
£260 for a Noxious Longbow. I mean, it's cool, but what are you going to do with it?
All right, where I guess you take it with you to cosplay at RuneFest or something. I mean, I don't know.
But isn't the whole sort of idea of cosplay to make it yourself?
£5,100.
No idea.
For a unique RuneScape title.
Oh my goodness! £510 for Mod Ashes mug.
And that title is the robotically efficient.
Huh.
Oh my goodness.
See, well, there's some exclusivity with that. My friend actually got one of the shirts a couple years ago that all the J-Mods had signed. So,
£1,000. Name your own ship, Mega Ship in Elite Dangerous.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Huh. But yeah, as you can see here, lots of items here, and it'd be really interesting to see what they end up ultimately getting from this. And of course, everything here goes for charity, so that's in the background of everyone's mind when they're looking at this here. So,
no, for sure. Oh, and there's one thing that I wanted to like point out in the schedule here, Shane. There's a an interview with Dr. Mick from Special Effect. It's like a Q&A.
Okay, and right.
That's
at 8 p.m. game time.
That stood out for me just because when I was writing this month, I learned a little bit about him, and he's a really interesting person and really just innovative thinker, and I think that's going to be pretty cool. So.
Yeah, and we'll definitely have to go and look for some of these things. You know, especially that one, perhaps the dance class, and also the 1,000 clue scrolls, or screw scrolls, as we called them. But
1,000 of them.
Yeah. All right. So that's obviously underway now if you guys are listening to this on the weekend. So you guys might be halfway through that. If you're listening to this rather than the Game Blast stream, we severely thank you for that. But of course, don't forget about charity if you're listening to RSVMB Update at the same time. So, and there's one tiny little thing regarding this Game Blast weekend. At the very end, they say there's one last thing. What's more, for every £10,000 we receive in donations, we'll ramp up the XP bonus for 30 minutes during the 24-hour live stream.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much this is specifically going to be, but it definitely gives a reason to be playing during that first 24 hours, I think. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there's lots of ways for you to get involved as well, even throughout the whole entire weekend. Game Blast will last all the way from 23rd to 25th. So if you want to sign up to create your own challenge and maybe try to raise some money for Special Effect, you can do that by going to the Game Blast website. So that's all in an Informer article.
So. Which you can find at informer.rsvmb.com. It's not published right now, but it will be published by the time people are listening to this. Yes.
Cool.
I'll probably buy the Game Blast bundle. I think that would be a good way of contributing, since it doesn't look like they're going to have the Well of Goodwill open. So,
yes.
And last Game Blast. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, by the time this goes up, I will probably. I think I'll be done by then because I'm doing a 24-hour stream myself. So, I'll either just be getting done or my head will be sunk into my keyboard. We will find out.
Okay.
I am way too old for this.
So, where are you streaming again? Just tell the listeners where you're streaming in case they are listening during the first 24 hours.
The Blind Gamer, Tana79 at Twitch TV.
All righty. And that's all. It's just the Blind Gamer, right?
Yeah, Tana79 at the end.
Okay. Blind Gamer Tana79. Link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com for that. You know, one thing I did in previous Game Blast years is whatever I made during Game Blast, if it was potions or, you know, planks or whatever, I just dumped that into the Well of Goodwill. I don't know if that's going to be open this year. It doesn't look like it's going to be. So
no, it's not. It's not. But one thing that maybe you could do, and I don't know if this would work, but if you sold your supplies and could then buy a bond with that supply, then, you know, give that to somebody, get them to get the outfit, just whatever the case may be, then that would go to special effect.
Yeah,
and that would be a way
to help. That's a good way of doing it. That's a good way of doing it. So, or just, you know, if you live in the UK, you can even donate on your phone. Apparently, if you want to donate £5, you just text JXGB99 £5 to 70070 if you're in the UK. So that's a nice, easy way for Sirion to do it. So.
Right. And are we, is it time to tell everyone a little bit of what Special Effect does and why it's so cool that Jagex is kind of teaming up again with them? And
yeah, let's
doing
do
game
that.
Class?
Let's do that.
Well, so as you know, Jagex has done this in the past, and they have teamed up with Special Effect. Special Effect is a charity that actually will help disabled people be able to play video games. So it helps with a lot of ways of a disabled person being able to use a controller or a keyboard, joystick, you know, what have you. Some examples that I've seen was there was this little girl and she was too weak to actually use like a Wii controller. And so they did a special modification to the Wii controller to where it weighed like half of the amount and she was able to use it. And then there are other, you know, setups for people with muscular dystrophy and just a host of different diseases. I've seen things that they fabricated for someone that could only use like their feet and play with their feet. I've seen motion control that they used for a little girl that she didn't have hands, but they could put it on her arm, and it was like a motion control type of a system. And they even have like eye control. And the cool thing about all this technology is not only like when you donate to them, not only are you helping out these kids and helping people be able to play games, but this technology is actually being used in other fields. So like Dr. Mick Donegan was one of the he's a pioneer in the field of like the eye control research, and that's actually being used in emergency situations where a person isn't able to communicate, but they still can use their eye, or they're still like cognitively okay, but they're paralyzed. And so they've actually been using that in hospitals and stuff, which I thought was just cool. You just never know where some of these technologies can actually go and the, you know, ripple effect that they can have in greater society, even though it's developed for a special need. You know, has far-reaching effects. So that's what Special Effect does, and I'm really proud to be trying to help and trying to raise some awareness for their cause.
Yeah, I have to say that I'm really glad that Jagex has gone back to that because you know, I never you know, have needed to have special considerations made to be able to play video games and whatnot. And last year they didn't do the Special Effect Game Blast charity stream. And I think we were all feeling that here at Update. I know you definitely were, Tanis. We wanted them to do that rather than, you know, just the bonus XP weekend with Game Jam or whatever it is. So it's definitely really nice that it's back. And, you know, I think having Jagex do it as one of the largest game publishers in the UK definitely says something with that as well. And it also says something for RuneScape and the RuneScape community for getting involved in it. And I'm really curious to see what the final amount of money will be that the community is able to raise this year. So it's a very important weekend, and you know, you might be just sitting there playing for double XP weekend, for example, but at the same time, remember why this double XP weekend is happening. And if you have the spare GP sitting around, buy yourself a bond and purchase the special effect bundle for this year. Or even if you live in the UK, do one better and maybe even put in a bid on the auction. So
yeah, and I think you might even be able to buy stuff from past Game Blast years. So I think that's available too, isn't it?
Yes, the Relic Bundle. Yes. Cosmetic goodies from the former Game Blast 14, 15, and the 16 Amulet only for 200 rune coins.
Nice.
You know what I think would be a really special thing for them to do with this is that if they put these on the Grand Exchange's tokens and just let people buy the rune coin or you know spend the rune coins on these, because that would then that would enable people to donate more than you know just the 400 and 200 that they normally can, because you can buy these bundles only once, right?
So, yeah, that would be. Yeah, that would be
like,
great.
Like a set your own price thing, like pay yeah, as much as you want.
Or that would even be better too. That would be the best way of doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's I'm just so happy that they're back, because I always for me this has always showed me like Jagex is doing more than I mean, it's great for any corporation to donate money like that. I mean, it's really needed and it's great. But what I love about Jagex is they don't only do that. They get involved. The JMods are involved. They do fun stuff. They're doing a 24-hour live stream, which encourages the players to get involved. They're doing a double XP weekend so yeah. We can get involved. So it's streamers, it's players, it's everybody. And we're all coming together as this community. To help out these people. And you know, I was watching these videos from Special Effect, and it's really, I mean, unless you sit down and think about it, you know, people might initially think, oh, well, you're helping people play video games, you know, what's up with that? But I mean, if you can just imagine not being able to move, nothing, all you have is just the movement of your eye. I mean, to be able to play a game, that's an escape. You know what I mean? Like it's such a big thing, even though it seems small to us, even though it seems trivial to us, right. It's not. And I can tell you, you know, just in my experience is nothing like they have, but you know, you can run into challenges. And so it's just really cool. I'm just really proud of the work that they do.
Yeah, and once again, so good to have them back, and let's let the festivities begin. So.
Yeah.
All right, but before that happens, there's also some patch notes this week, just a very small number of them. I mean, you know, smallest yet this year. So the clickable area of the UI buttons within the main interface ribbon include the entirety of the button now. I don't know what it included before, but that's good. Cannons decaying in instances which are no longer available won't disconnect players anymore.
Okay.
I can imagine some of the code that deals with it. I can totally see this happen. So. Yeah. No weapons exception.
Oh, boy. The illuminated Book of Wisdom is now colored blue like its unilluminated version. And the Ceridoman recolor of the Godbook's Override now matches the new blue color of the Ceridoman Godbook. So those are the little patch notes this week. And we do truly mean little. So there really wasn't much to write home about there. But we also do want to talk a little bit about the mining and smithing beta once again, because they did make an update on Friday, slightly before the last podcast was released. And this update to the mining and smithing beta brought in the following mechanics. Fire making now affects your heat mechanic when you're smithing. So your maximum heat will now be represented as 300 plus 3 times your fire making level plus 3 times your smithing level. So now doing the math on that, if you are sitting at level 99 smithing and level 99 fire making, this takes you up to a maximum of 894 total heat. Whereas previously, it was 597.
This is so cool. Like, for some reason, fire making is one of my favorite skills in the game. Which sounds stupid, because it has no use. I'm just a tiny pyromaniac, I guess. But, like, I
you pyromaniac in real life, too?
No, not at all. But I don't know. I just... Maybe it's the color of the cape. I don't even know. I just like fire making. But it is useless. Absolutely useless. You can put logs on fire, but why would you do that, to be honest? Because you can just use stoves everywhere, and there's by now so many of these permanent fires around where you can cook on that you don't really need the skill anymore. There is really no good reason to get a high fire making level in the game, except for getting the cape.
Yeah.
So smithing is sort of the most logical place to tie it into. So I'm really excited that they took this chance of putting it in. And I mean, I think it makes sense. There's a logical reason to do it. And it fixes an entire skill. Well, maybe not fix it, but it goes a long way to fixing an entire different skill that's currently not included in mining and smithing. So yeah. It is, I think it's fantastic. It's a tiny thing, but agility is the same thing. It's lots of tiny things that help, that agility helps you with. It's like the shortcuts, the running speed, all that stuff. Fire making can be the same thing. It can be one of those support skills. And this is a good start.
Yeah. Also, when heating, you now gain 50 plus half your fire making level plus half your smithing level heat per tick. So you now smith faster if you have a higher fire making level. So that's really nice too.
Oh, it's not smithing faster. You just need.
Right. I'm sorry. I thought it was progress, but it's heat you gain per tick. So you heat faster.
Yes, so it speeds up your smithing slightly. It also, because the maximum is higher, it means you can smith for longer.
Right.
Like without the heat going down.
Yeah.
So like it will improve your smithing experience, but it's not a pure necessity.
Right. It's not a direct improvement to smithing. And what's more, this would also allow for some kind of fire-making potion to be added to Herblore, because if you boost these skills up beyond level 99, you do gain the bonus from these skills as if they were actually levels on you. So, and you can do this now in the beta as well by adding boosts for, you know, all the various skills, mining, smithing, fire-making, agility, and strength. So that offers up some options in-game as well. So, overall, I think the fire making and heat mechanics are really good, and that needed to come into the beta. I don't think we have any problems with those, right?
No, maybe some cool fire making summoning pet familiars.
Ooh, that might be interesting. Make a summoning pet influence your fire making level and have that influence smithing. Nice. I like it. Now, coal has an extra use. We got what we wanted. Kind of.
Kind of.
So they added the auto heater to the game. It appears in your bank, and you can add it to your pocket slot, and it'll automatically work when you're smithing. And basically what this does is that if you run out of heat while you're smithing, it will consume one piece of coal from your hopper and refill your heat to a maximum of 33%. Now, recall the way that the progress mechanics work. 33% down to zero is one times the progress per hit when you're hitting that piece of metal. So you're only going to be making one times progress for this AFK version of smithing training with the auto heater. Now, there has been some talk about if this will come from Dungeoneering or not, and that's the way Jagex is leaning right now. Personally, I do not believe this should be a dungeoneering reward item.
I do not either.
Well, I think it should be an invention device.
Precisely.
Oh, yeah. That would be perfect.
Precisely. That makes sense. Invention.
Yeah, invention, not dungeoneering.
Because that way then this ensures that you have above 80 smithing and you have invested sufficient amount of time into the invention skill to make something like that happen. So I would very much like to see this invention.
Kind of? What is the problem with the auto heater?
Well, our initial feedback on this was that coal has no use except for smithing mithril and steel bars.
So what?
What we wanted to do
mithril
was...
Mithril ore has only used smithing mithril bars. And then you have like all these... Oh, I forgot the names of all these other things.
Right,
but
yeah.
Like, what makes coal that it needs more uses?
Well, it's just the fact that coal comes from the kingdom. And what level or what use is someone who is max in-game going to have for coal?
But, okay, so... Everything that gifts ores, whether it's monsters or the kingdom or anything else or drops, needs to be refought. Who's to say that the kingdom is still going to give you coal?
That's actually a very good point. And if it didn't give coal, then that might actually be okay.
I think we need to sort of forget about the whole coal thing being a big thing. The entire skill is being reworked. We can't make assumptions about what role coal will have. I looked to it, right? I saw the secondary ingredients of the higher level ores. I was super excited.
Oh, because, yeah, me too. Me too.
While the coal is cool, this, like, I think coal has too much use right now in the game, if I may be honest.
Yeah, that's true. I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that. But can I just say that my use for coal would still be limited? It wouldn't be the level that's at right now. All I would like to see for coal added to this mining and smithing rework is something with the heat mechanic to maybe make the heat tick down slower. That's all I would suggest to add for a use of coal without the auto heater. That's all I'd suggest for coal. That's all I want. And if they added a use like that, where I, at level 99 smithing, could still find a use for coal, I'd be very happy.
I can see what you mean. I am not 100% sure if it's necessary.
Okay. All right.
But I understand where you come from.
Yeah. I just feel it's such
basically
an integral...
You want to use coal as putting more money into the skill to make it even better for you.
Precisely. Precisely. As an option.
But that is going to... So I think the problem with that is that it's going to put too much value on coal. And it's going to make the lower end smithing around the steel and mithril tier too expensive compared to the other tiers.
Right. And that might actually happen if you didn't have coal being dropped anymore like they're potentially planning on doing.
Yeah, I never thought about that. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
All right, that works. But I just feel that there should be a use for something that is so universal in-game. Like, we find coal in the ground. I can go outside. I can go to the river here. I can dig down a couple centimeters, and I can see a coal seam. I just feel like it's so universal that there should be some kind of limited use. And maybe the dungeoneering reheater is it, or the auto reheater is it, though, except if they did move it out to invention or something for that example.
You know, sometimes the game mechanic... I don't think you should sacrifice game mechanics for real world accuracy.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah, and I mean, based on our discussions we had earlier, I can see why you say that, and I accept that. So, but do you guys think that the dungeoneering auto heater, or I'm calling it the dungeoneering auto heater, we don't know if that'll be the case. Do you think that is an acceptable use for coal right now?
It's close.
Yeah, I think it's acceptable. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a mixed opinion because I think the choice of core comes out of nostalgia, not out of a
Right, and a reason to
balancing
protect the
discussion.
value of people's banks. And I'm not doing it for
Yes.
that reason.
That is what makes me hesitant to say yes.
Okay. All right. Right. And I mean, that makes sense. And I have absolutely zero problem with crushing the value of coal with this update if it makes the skill more wholesome and more complete after the rework.
I mean, if you look at other games, right? Core is a fuel. Wood is also fuel, but it's less efficient. So if they want to go this way with the auto heater, I have the feeling it should also be able to burn wood, but at like faster rate or something like
No,
that.
there's an idea.
Yeah, I thought about that last week, so that does make sense.
All right. Well, I'll come around that and I'll say I will accept the auto heater and I will accept its use for coal if it was pulled out of the Dungeoneering reward shop and put
Agreed. I don't
towards
think it should be in a
invention.
dungeon. It should not be a dungeoneering reward. It should be something people can obtain. There's too much stuff you can obtain from dungeoneering already. And like people should not have to make a choice between the autoheater and something else in the reward shop.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I think we squared that one away then. So, Ciarán, any thoughts on the mining and smithing beta that you want to bring forward? Because you weren't on the episode last week, but you had a look at it. And the auto heater and the fire making mechanic are the biggest ones that we have right here. So,
Well, there was also a double XP pickaxe.
I have no idea why they added that. If anyone knows why, please enlighten me.
Yeah, me too. I don't care for it.
I don't know either. I mean, I don't want to repeat too much of what has been said last week. So I haven't spent too much time on it. I went through some of the mining. I think it's interesting how there's no more competition over resources. I remember the time where like it was literally a race to collect the fastest in Rebellion Village to get your coal. That was not fun. Divination did it a lot better, and I'm glad they're bringing that to mining. It's going to be a much more sociable skill. It is completely AFK-able or not, depending on how you want to do. I think they nailed that. Needs some tweaking maybe, but like I think they're on the right track there. Smithing, super interesting. It feels much more engaging. I
Feels
also
like real
like
world
how.
smithing.
Yeah, and I also like how they're finally putting the furnaces and anvils together because it makes much more sense to have like these
Oh,
smithing
yeah.
places.
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
hope it also means that the smithing places become maybe a bit less common, which means you have more spots where people sort of group together and come socialize. All in all, this is really everything we've been asking for. The only thing I'm not entirely sure about is untradeableness of things higher end. I still believe that a lot of the high-end stuff should be untradeable. As I understand it, it's not just only the decorated tier is going to be untradeable,
Yep,
and
that's
all the
right.
plus. I'm a bit sad about that. I think it would be awesome if among the best options for kitting yourself out is something you can only make with your own skills. Because that would
I would
truly add
love
value to
that. I
things.
would love that.
It's the same as overloads, right? I don't really feel there is an overload type object in this mining and smithing rework. That is my greatest problem with the beta right now. But I do admit that might be my interpretation or missing something. But
Yeah.
otherwise, I think it's a really solid update. I like all the combinations of metals you need. It adds so much. I wouldn't want to say a complexity, but like it adds sort of like you need more different things, and especially from an Iron Man point of view, that's like it's going to be a bit harder to get stuff together maybe, but I think the skill is so much better for it. I mean, 8 out of 10 on just a beta, what I have seen.
Yeah, so and that was our general sentiment as well. And that's what one thing I also brought in my concise list of feedback is that we need to see what the overload item is like, if not in this beta, then the next beta, because, you know, that is something that we were promised as one of the high-level options that was available for this rework, and that has the potential to change the way numerous things work in games, so we need to see it. So,
I mean, personally, if it were up to me, every item with a plus in its name would have been made untradeable. Every one of them.
Hmm. So you would basically have to buy a Elder Rune Longsword and then upgrade it 5 times if you wanted to decorate it for that large chunk of XP.
Yep.
And though, you know, one thing we were also not sure on last week is what will be, where will the value chips fall for the plus 5 items that people can buy and then just decorate, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, is that going to be a way of for high level smiths to make money? That's the question we have, is that how will that work into the economy once everything's balanced out? And that was a big question we had going forward.
I think that's one that's so hard to answer that is really emergent.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That and the overload style item. Totally. Well, I guess we're all on the same page as that one. It's not like it's not like the bank rework taster, but I think even then we all kind of came to the same conclusion on that. So all is well on the Western Front. All right.
Very good.
So this week they also had the February content showcase. I'm just going to run through this quickly since we're already pushing the hour mark here. So deep sea fishing will be arriving in March. There'll be an option there to have high XP, high intensity training. That's effectively whack-a-mole for fishing spots where your XP increases the higher your streak is. And that's what we saw demoed at RuneFest as part of the rejuvenation for skilling going forward. So it's nice to see this being so close to coming into game, I have to say. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. Also with this ZMI-style fishing, where you'd be able to get have one fishing spot and receive a variety of fish from this with moderate XP rates. So I found that interesting and surprising as well. There's also going to be a whirlpool that you can toss money into as a, and they put this in game as a literal gold sink, and you'll be able to get the titles that you used to be able to get from the Well of Goodwill.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, cool, but I think that was like the charitable, right? I mean, just throwing money down a drain, literally.
Yeah, you're going to get like the billionaire title or something like that the more you put in. So. All right. Also, you guys ready for this one? Hold on to your socks. Waterfall fishing rates will not be tweaked.
Yay.
I'm not sure how I feel about
that. I am not surprised.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a decision that they probably had to make because look how many people use Waterfall as AFK, and if they touch that, oh boy, that'd be the next riot.
Well, it's just not fishing. I mean, it's also invention, and it's, yeah, it would be a riot for sure. I'm glad they're not touching it. Yeah. I mean, it didn't fit when it came in, but now it's here, and we've all kind of gotten used to it, and I like it. So, you know.
I don't know. I still have mixed feelings about that.
Well, you're a diehard, man. You won't sacrifice the lore, damn it.
Yeah, and that's what it largely comes down to, because, I mean, it wasn't there to begin with, so why add the damned fishing skill to the freaking waterfall, you know?
Well, that's what happens when you ask players what they want. You get an aquarium and a waterfall.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Hey, Shane, could have been a greenhouse.
It could have been.
You just know how to push all the buttons there, don't you, Sirion?
And you put it in Therion, we could have prestiged that damn greenhouse too.
Yep.
Well, I had to ask the players.
I'm just going to sit here and sink into the back of my chair for a moment. NXT improvements, depth of field, and volumetric lighting will be used more. Sirion, explain what depth of field is.
Depth of field makes things that are not in focus blurry.
Okay.
Things that are further away. I think that's the basic explanation of it.
So an example of this might be a tree far away, it kind of blurs in as you go to give you a closer feeling that it's further away, is what you're effectively saying?
If you look at something, you'll notice, like, in a photo, if you make a picture, right, you can only put either the foreground or the background in focus. That's depth of field.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. And volumetric lighting will be used more. And oh boy, you had fun with this in pre-show.
Yeah, I was like, because volumetric lighting, you can do that in two ways. You can do it actually doing physics like math. But that is quite kind of expensive. That is only has become really viable in the past few years. Before that, there was a way to sort of hack it. You get more of a god rays, like what you would, yeah, we call it god rays. So I went into the game because I wanted to figure out if I could figure out if it's true volumetric lighting or hacky god rays. I'm pretty sure it's actual volumetric lighting. I also found out it's a pretty poor implementation of it because it completely makes trees look wrong. There's lots of artifacts in the background in Menifos, so. I might actually turn it off.
Yeah. And
it's the effect. It's the effect you get when the sun shines to like dust. That's volumetric lighting.
Yeah, and that's like why they put it dust in particles in the air. That's, yeah. The example they showed on stream for volumetric lighting was actually at Daemonheim, believe it or not, and in the swamp.
Hmm.
So. That'll be interesting to see those arrive. And, you know, one other thing they talked about with this is that this is why we built NXT, because in Java we lit the game so differently. And now that we have NXT, we can start lighting the game and filling in these environments in a more natural way that makes it look more realistic. So that's going to be arriving very soon with updates. So.
That palm tree didn't look very realistic.
Yeah, you're right about that. Oh boy. And you know, I'll throw these links to these images in the show notes here, but you can definitely see the on and off effect. If you're watching on the video version, we have that right now as well. So, oh boy. Also, coming in March is Solak. Tier 92 crossbows, dual wielded, will still be arriving. Boss pet drop rate will be at approximately 1 in 3,500. And
what's the threshold for drop rate?
1 in 1,000.
Okay.
1 in 1,000. Yeah. And we talked about 4-tick auto-attacking last month and the changes Jagex was going to bring into that. And, oh, it just comes out on stream. Oh, we're not actually dropping that ranged ultimate ability for 4-tick auto-attacking. We have another solution that we're going to be implementing to fix 4-tick auto-attacking. And that was just said on the stream. Jagex has not provided any insight on what this solution will be for 4-tick auto-attacking. So that will definitely be very interesting to look at. Because, of course, 4-tick auto-attacking is utilizing the tick system in-game to swap between dual-wielded and two-handed weapons to get another attack in there, which you know, has a substantial DPS increase for people. So
I am laughing because I'm pretty sure there's a whole bunch of PVMers right now pretty nervous about what Jagex has said.
I hope they're nervous because I think that whole 4-tick auto-attacking thing should just be plugged up as a bug. So, if the PVMers are laughing, let them. I don't know what they're planning, but we'll definitely keep an eye out for this. There's been no posts in the combat thread about Vortech auto-attacking regarding this, so that's something we'll definitely watch out for you guys. And a number of ninja fixes were also detailed, but perhaps the most interesting one is that we're getting a spin flax lunar magic spell that'll spin 5 flax at a time into bowstrings.
This is...
Why?
My question is, didn't this exist already? Because I would expect this to exist.
No, it didn't.
Huh.
But why? I mean, when's the last time you spun flax?
6 days ago.
Do you have an Iron Man, though?
No.
So,
yeah, well, like for Iron Man, I can see this being a really big addition.
Yeah, I guess it's cool for them, but...
I needed a bow for something, so I chopped a log, and I fletched it into a long bow. Then I grabbed a piece of flax that I had sitting in my bank, went to a spinning wheel, and spun it into a bowstring.
You did that.
Yes, I did.
You put that there.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you could also have gone to a grand exchange, type in bow... get the cheapest one and buy it.
But I was already there and I was walking by the spinning wheel, so why not? I was on my way to get 99 ranged and I wanted an oak short bow.
And he did it with his own bow.
All right.
And then I gave the bow and the arrows to someone in Clan Quest. I think it was Chodo that I actually gave it to, and good for him because it was a bronze arrow.
Chodra gave me the bronze dagger that he used to get 99 smithing.
See, we pay it forward.
Yeah, yeah, I have that in my bank still.
Yeah. Oh, Hood's that guy, eh, Sirion?
Mm-hmm.
Nice little Clan Quest inner joke there. If you want more of those, just visit and guest in Clan Chat, Clan Quest in-game. We're a fun group of people. Anyway, speaking of other things that might be fun or aggravating for people on the Grand Exchange, Jagex has released the Master Clue Scroll emote list of items that you'll need. And oh boy, did the Merchanters have fun with this list.
But why?
I have no idea.
I'm okay with sharing the untradeable ones, like the fire cape. Go for it. Nobody cares.
I still have my fire cape.
Why would
you... didn't do the kiln?
Nope.
I did do the kiln, but I never did the fire caves after that, so I don't have my fire cave. But why?
I don't know. tradable items that we are looking at on this list include a cavalier, a boater, treasure trail, dragon mask, dragon rider, amulet, and I believe that's it for tradables on this list. Is the Dragon Rider amulet tradable? No, I don't think
it's... No, it's not. No, okay. It's a quest reward.
All right, okay.
Some of these are going to be really painful for some people.
Like the worker's trousers and the music robe top?
Yeah, the asylum surgeon's ring for people who still have to redo a broken home.
Ooh. Oh, that's rough.
Or, how many times do you need to do that for broken home?
That requires 1,000 charm sprites to be caught.
How many times do you need to redo broken home for that?
You could do it in one rego, but you have to finish it within 40 something minutes, I think.
Okay.
All right. I never could do it because there's no way I could do it in 40 minutes. Absolutely no way.
Oh, boy.
The lab coat requires a really high invention level.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Lab coat bottoms. Ibn staff. That's not too bad. Legends cape. Holy Cythera.
That's really easy to get.
Yeah, that is.
Dragon Defender is a bit of an annoying thing, but you can get it in an hour or two.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not like a Drygor Defender, right? That would be something.
Yeah, that'd
but
be rough.
But still, why would you release the tradable items? Well done, Jagex, well done.
Yeah, and I mean, the prices on the boaters, for example, just shot through the roof with this. And I know, Tanis, you were talking about one of your friends.
Oh, yes. Oh, I have a friend. He has literally collected boaters for like the last 5 years. You always see him in one. And we always kind of laugh. It's like, you know, there's Brew with his boaters. And yeah, well, we were calling him Brew Gates, because he had all of these boaters. And like, all the colors were selling for like $5 a piece, and the black ones were going for 10. Yeah. So.
Oh, I should have done some clue scrolls this week. Oh, I guess there's still time before Double XP weekend starts. Like, what the freak?
Right.
Like, do we... Yeah. I don't normally get animated when I do this show, but I just had to stop myself because you guys haven't seen me here doing this, but I have a pad of paper in front of me where I keep notes. And in my hand, I always have a pen because I take things down as we go through. And I almost just, when I said, what the freak, I almost just threw my pen up, but I had to catch myself because I'm tethered right now and I wouldn't have wanted to have to walk over to pick that up. This update, or this week, I mean, let's just move on.
Yeah, I think that'd be best.
If you guys want, you know, the tame version and just the Cole's Notes version of the week's RS updates and the week's patch notes when they arrive, just head on over to youtube.com/RSBNB. You can get the weekly bite every Monday. Nice little rundown of the game update. This week I threw some feedback in there about the auto heater. Every Monday, a nice little rundown of the week's updates and patch notes and whatnot, and preparing you guys for the upcoming podcast. So youtube.com/RSBNB for that. Okay. Well, you know, I thought we might have reached peak intensity, but clearly that has not happened thus far on this podcast. We have a question this week. It's from Touchpad Pro, uh-oh, and I think we're going to touch a little nerve here with this one, too. Old school's been out for 5 years now, and it's been a growing trend to make money there and transfer it to RS3. RS3 top players started very early on to typically use one or more alts to AFK use on 07 and then swap it at rates of typically 1 to 15. So one ULOG would be worth 15 times the price on RS3. Jagex decided not to ban people for doing so, letting it become a big influence on the economy in both games, as well as the real-world trading scene. With the release of other game modes such as Deadman and Darkscape, teams of people have been working together to be the first to mine and smith rune items, often making close to 1 billion RS3 GP per day per person. A few clans decided to consider swapping, cheating, and kick people out who did it, despite Jagex not making a decision on whether it should be considered cheating or not, leaving it as sort of a gray area, the same way that the use of alts were for a long time, and still are to some degree. What are your thoughts on Jagex's apparent indecisiveness on things like this? Another thing that comes to mind is dice games going on when free trade was reintroduced, where game hosts would make several billion a day. It was allowed to go on for several months despite quite a lot of criticism from the community, and after ignoring it entirely for months, they suddenly decided to nerf them. And that they have somewhat decided to let the use of alts become accepted, but then suddenly ban a lot of people who also use them. This is about without giving any info on how many alts they are, then they are fine with people using, if any. You know,
so I'm gonna ask a question.
A question about the question. Okay.
What gifts? Like, I can see problems with like Deadman and Darkscape, but just exchanging money between 07 and RS3. What gifts? It's not as if money is entering or exiting the economy, because it doesn't work that way. Because the way you transfer, if I understand correctly, if you trade money to someone in one game and they will give you money in the other game back. Like, it goes through players, but the money stays in the game.
Right.
So what gifts? Like, what is...
Are you asking why is the ratio so high?
No. Why would we care?
Okay.
Why does it affect my game?
For me personally, The issue I have with these is that it is in large part a trust trade. And that has been something that has always been a gray area, and Jagex has always kind of come down on the side of limiting.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect your game in a negative way.
I don't think it
you
does
don't
either.
Have to, you don't have to take part in this trust trading.
Yeah. But at the same time, is it right to allow these people to make a 1 to 15 profit margin on this to swap money?
I mean, they don't make a 1 to 15 profit margin, right? The exchange rate is 15 mil RSV GP for 1 mil 07 GP. Mm-hmm. And they take like a tiny commission on that. And back is the same. Like it's like currency exchange. I mean, I can see the potential problem. And I would very much like the economies to be completely separated. But
I agree.
Is this something should forbid?
No, and I mean, I don't think it should be forbidden in its entirety, because if someone wants to risk doing this and risk losing their money by giving it to someone on old school, logging out, then logging into RS3 and guaranteeing that that person will give you money, okay, you can take that risk, but that's personally something I would not do.
But then so is betting on dice games and flowers and all that stuff.
Yeah. And with that, I think the issue comes in is that, you know, the flower games and the dice games were shut down. So I think the question that's being asked here is, why shouldn't this be shut down?
Mm. I mean, I don't like it existing, but I cannot see a good argument why it would be cut down except for to protect abuse from happening for the traders. But I don't know how widespread that problem would be.
Right.
Because there are probably a number of trusted brokers out there right now, and I don't think it would be beneficial for them to abuse that trust. They can make more money by keeping that trust there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So it's sort of a self-regulating system in that way.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think it would be nice to have a stance from Jagex on this.
I think that would not be a bad idea.
Yeah. And I mean, if Jagex could answer this and say if it was bad or if it was good, I think that would go a long way to answering this question here. But at the same time, you know, it is truly a gray area. And if it is something that is illegal, then it should be banned, just like the flower games and dice games were. Because recall the idea behind the two separate games is that they were not to be released. And for so long, you know, you were only allowed to be logged into one account at the same time. But obviously that's gone out the window now. So I think what we need here is a more in-depth explanation from Jagex as to what the actual internal policy is on this. And in regards to the people who support this, or do not support it, why exactly should it be considered cheating and why should people be kicked out? And I mean, I can see why people see it as cheating, because if you spend a short amount of time in 2007 getting 1 million GP, and if you can just change that for 15 million GP in RS3, why don't you just do that, right? And it's kind of unfair to the people in RS3.
I would.
But if it was a short amount of time, then the rate would be different, right? I mean, it's all relative. Mm-hmm. So you can't go by that. And also, you have to think that if you are a member to one game, you're a member to the other, right? So I actually have friends that play both games. I don't know why, but I ain't judging. I ain't judging. They play them both. They should be able to move their stuff around from one to another. Now, they're taking a risk. That's, you know, that's on them. But, I mean, if you have membership like that, then it's not segregated, like it's not blocked off like that. And so I kind of agree with Sarah on like, what does it, was it hurting? Because the only people it really would hurt would be the people that are doing it legitimately, and they're just, they should have the freedom to be able to move their own money that they've earned between their two different accounts.
Yeah. And I think it comes
the
from
only...
I'll just say this quickly. I think it comes from the fact that Touchpad Pro here said that RS3 players started to use one or more alts on 2007 to AFK use, and then they would sell those and swap.
I think using multiple alts at the same time should be forbidden.
Right, and I think that is what we did not talk about here. So,
yeah,
I'll just underline that and underscore that. So,
but the alt problem, like, is it really that much of a problem? Especially if that's membership, man. That is membership, and it's not a bot.
True,
you're actually clicking
because you do need membership to play 07.
Yeah, so I just
I don't think you're right.
Do anything about this.
Also, like, if those people want to pay membership for multiple accounts to get more in-game money, if they want to go and have multiple clients and manage it, I mean, to be honest, be my guest. Like, if you want to take the game that serious, go for it. I don't, and you're not really getting in my way. Doesn't really impact the economy that much. I mean, it might mess with the due prices on old school. That's a different problem.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, there's arguments for and against here, but I think we once again have come down the middle of it and said why it should be the case and why it potentially should not be the case. And now all we need is an official response from Jagex on this.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, thank you for the question, Touch. If you want to send your own in, just email questions at rsbnb.com. Also take voicemails or text messages at 571-57BNB. Or you can leave us a DM or at mention on Twitter at rsbnb. Alright, so moving on to tech news right now. Twitter is finally cracking down on bots. And, you know, this is a big issue because Twitter as it is a platform that takes a lot of heat and, you know, on its own is considered not very useful at times, right? So basically what Twitter did with this update is they removed, since June of 2017, 220,000 applications that are in violation of the rules, collectively responsible for 2.2 billion low-quality tweets.
Not bad.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to be improving their rules on applications and whatnot that can tweet. You know, for example, weather alerts, RSS feed updates, and other things, but they're only going to be limited to one account going forward. You're not going to be able to farm them out to multiple accounts. So, and, you know, I think we all benefit from this because by cleaning up the platform, it just removes the noise that's on Twitter, right? I don't know if this will make it more useful, but as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Twitter's users actually grew and the company actually turned a profit recently. So who knows? This could be a new beginning for them, though I personally don't believe it.
They lost me, so.
Yeah. And, you know, I would like to like the platform, but I just can't. But I'm in an unfortunate situation where I need to use it for podcasts. So, also with this, there has been 50,000 Russia-linked bots that attempted to interfere in the U.S. election, or so they say. That's also in this report as well. And there have been people reporting that certain numbers of followers have been dropped as well. Bill Mitchell, a commentator on U.S. politics, says that he lost about 4,000 followers after this most recent posting of bots being removed. So I just have to say that anytime we're talking about the removal of users from Twitter, because there have been problems in the past, we need to make damn sure that they're bots and not actual users. So hopefully Twitter has the right metrics inside to determine that going forward. But all right. Twitter may be becoming a bit useful, but perhaps not for Sirion.
Not for me, no. Yeah.
Okay. Next up, the state of LTE connection in February 2018, this is a really interesting website that you gave to us this week, Sirion. It kind of shows the state of connectivity in the world. And if you look at the pictures here, it really proves that a good majority of the world is now connected, though their experience might not be optimal. So if you look somewhere down to Argentina, for example, they have an average 4G speed of 12.53 megabits per second. But if you look to Australia, they have an average 4G LTE speed of 36 megabits per second. And then all the way on the top end, you have Norway with 41.2 megabits per second. So you can have a look at this report and you can see which countries have the best connectivity and which countries have the best speeds. And with that, you can determine, I guess you can see which countries are already there and which ones are moving faster to the mobile connected world, I guess. Is that the uptake we want to take away from this?
Yeah, I think it's always good to sort of take a step back and like look at things we might take for granted, like 4G is something. Like I living in London, I almost everywhere have 4G, but like a lot of other countries don't. So I think it's always good to look at this, and I think it's important that everybody has internet access, because I mean it's not a human right, but at this point it might as well be. Like this, it's become so ingrained in human culture, but also like all the information that's available there.
Yeah.
There are always some fun surprises here. So, I mean, United States of America is always a bit disappointing, I think.
You don't say.
in average speed, the United States of America is below countries like Peru, Chile, Uruguay, Colombia.
Through our teeth for it.
Yeah. It's not doing too bad on availability, I think. It's actually pretty good on availability, it says. I think it's always super interesting.
USA, 90% availability for 4G. Canada is doing well, but the Netherlands is also doing really well there. 42 megabits a second.
Yeah, good speed, also good availability. 89%. Singapore, surprisingly fast. South Korea is doing really well, actually. That was one of the surprises to me. It's fun. What is there to say? I think people that are interested should just like have a skim to the website, just check it out.
It's the fastest Singapore, the absolute slowest India, 6 megabits per second. But India has 86% availability at the same time, being the slowest. So it's one of those. Reverse ones there. Algeria is the least available at 40.94%. And, you know, I think overall, if you look at this, like for me, what I took away from this is if you go to the availability of it and you look at the global map, you see that the only places we really don't have data for this is in Central Africa, China, and Venezuela. But aside from that, the rest of the world is remarkably well connected. So that's something that we can take away from this. So
I agree. Yeah.
All right. One final piece of tech news this week. Snapchat. Kylie Jenner.
Oh, gosh.
Kylie Jenner. Whoever that is. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah,
apparently wiped away $1.3 billion worth of Snapchat's market value this week. She tweeted, "So does anyone else not like open Snapchat anymore? Or is it just me? Ugh, this is so sad." And with this, the results for the shares of Snapchat sank 6.1% on Thursday, effectively wiping out $1.3 billion in market value. And, you know,
How is it correlated to this single tweet?
Well,
like who figured out that this is the cause of that drop?
Well, that's precisely when it happened. I mean, on Thursday afternoon, and that's, I think, the only other thing to happen Snapchat related at that time. Now, you definitely do have a point that it might not be correlated, but this is what we've been hearing time and time again, is that people do not like this most recent Snapchat update, with a survey of upwards of 1 million people saying that they want the old update back. But granted, you know, that's 1 million out of 650-odd million. So, I mean, it's definitely something that Snapchat could consider doing, but they said they're not going to. And this could just be another point of it reaching critical mass like that and people, you know, losing confidence in it, in the product. Mm. And it also highlights what we talked about before when Snapchat brought out its IPO, and that's that we have a product that has lots of fake value associated with it. It is essentially a bubble product, because what kind of product can have a negative tweet about it, and this person who has 24.5 million followers and this tweet had 284,000 likes and 55,000 replies, what kind of product can lose that kind of value from such one tweet?
Well, didn't it happen like almost a year ago with Boeing and Trump and all that? So,
I don't think Trump is related to Snapchat.
No, but he made a – don't you remember them – tweeted out about Boeing, and then they lost a bunch of.
Oh, right. Right. So, you know. Right.
Yeah. I just think that, I mean, Twitter was in the same situation, right? And we just covered like a week ago that they finally made a profit. So I don't know. I think it's kind of the same situation.
Yeah. And I'm going to say
I'm not a Snapchat user. So.
I hate the company. I hate the product. I don't believe that these kind of companies should be on the stock exchange that are hemorrhaging money like this, because that's what Snapchat does. And just the fact it's worth so much, that's still absolutely astounding to me. So it's utterly unbelievable that this is here. But yeah, you guys have anything else on that one?
Not really. I don't think that was real. To me, that's not real wealth if it can be wiped away by Kylie Jenner anyway.
Definitely. Definitely.
It's not real.
How about you, Sirion?
I would like to post a tweet and wipe away $1.3 billion. That sounds like a fun thing to do.
Would you use Twitter again for that?
I would use Twitter again if I could do that.
Well, you got to start somewhere. You got to amp that follower count up, and you got to amp that influence up to be able to do that.
I would use bots, but
yeah,
that's
just get
no longer
Russian
possible,
bots, man. It'd be good. They need a new job. They're not working right now.
Yeah, like, I can use like all the 4G around and like post all the time.
There you go. The holy trifecta of tech news: using all three aspects to wipe market value away. That's what Sirion's going to be doing in his spare time.
Yeah.
We kid, of course. We kid.
Do we, though?
Oh, I thought you were.
Am I?
Oh, geez. All right. Well, we're going to talk about Skill of the Month now, because something interesting did indeed happen. But first, I'll just say that the March Skill of the Month is summoning. And since it is Double XP weekend, take these numbers I'm about to report with a complete grain of salt. In first place, we have Parnassius with 5.2 million XP gained. That is a lead change. And in second place, we have X-Blades with 4.6 million, who has remained relatively constant. And in third place, we have Sorensen 57, who has, of course, come within striking distance of these people. So it's anyone's game at this point, and it's really anyone else's game in the competition, too, given the fact that there has only been 5.2 million XP gained in construction so far this month, and we have a double XP weekend right on our doorstep.
So how is Jumanji going to win this?
Well, that's what I said. I said almost everyone, because Jumanji 52 has 200 mil XP already, and we can't track that. So, okay, let's do some achievables of the week. So, starting off on the 21st of February this week, we have Howl Bacon with 99 attack.
Aww.
Nice name, nice name. Thieves got 120 attack also on the 21st. Wily with 99 agility. Deimos with 99 invention. And Occult with 120 thieving also on the 21st. Moving on to the 20th now, we have CQ Sethron with 99 slayer. And VSS with 99 fishing. We also have Sorensen 57 with 120 magic and 120 ranged on February 19th.
All right, moving on to February 18, we have CQ Sefan, who got 99 fletching. Shio Goroth got 99 attack. Illness got 120 magic, and that was all of February 18. And then on February 17, we got the Firewatch getting 99 divination. Halal Bacon, 99 slayer.
Hello.
Alvin Badass got 99 prayer. And Siku Sefon got 99 smithing also on February 17th.
And moving on to the 15th, VSS got 99 mining. CQ Sethron with 99 mining. Mama Mystic with 99 hit points. Is that Constitution, right? Yeah. Okay.
Hey, it's a legacy system.
Oh, okay. And Schmitz got 99 magic on the 15th. So, good job, everybody. Awesome. Congratulations.
Nicely done. Nicely done. All right. And for pick of the week this week, I think it's 100% evident of what that's going to be. So, Tanis, I'll just say take it away.
Special effect. I love what they do, and go out and support them. Check out their website. You can still sign up for Game Blast. Create your own challenge. Try to raise money. Get your clan involved. You can, you know, it doesn't even matter what game you play, although we know you're going to be playing RuneScape because it's DX3 weekend. But anyway, you can do whatever you want and help out some people that are really they're really deserving. So.
It's a really special weekend, and I'm glad to be able to be a part of this with you, Tanis, and I can't wait to see what the entirety of the RuneScape community gets up to this weekend. So,
thanks, and wish me luck, because I haven't stayed up for 24 hours since I was, like, 20 years ago, probably. Maybe more. So, yeah.
Good here luck. We go. And, of course, remind us of the Twitch handle again so people can come in and check on you through that 24 hours.
Man. Yes, The Blind Gamer, Tanis79, and that's at Twitch TV.
All one word, no spaces, right?
Underscores between.
Okay. The Blind Gamer, Tanis79. Link to that will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. All right, so what have we been up to this week? Let's start with you, Tanis.
More and more divination. I've been doing this for like 3 weeks now, but it's such good money. I've just been making charge packs like crazy because I'm preparing for double XP weekend, and I'll be doing Slayer. I'm going to try to hit 120 this weekend. We'll see. I'm about 27 mil away. So it's a big lift, but I should be playing for 24 hours. So, you know, not impossible. And then other than that, I've been rearranging my bank and really just preparing for this marathon. It's about all I've been doing.
All right. How about you, Sirion?
Oh, I've been using Twitter, amping up my followers. Not really. I don't use Twitter. I had to make that joke, though. I don't know. I've not really been doing much. I've been really busy in real life, so I haven't played much. One of my big recent achievements is finally getting to 100 Elder Chronicles.
Oh,
So
yay.
that was fun.
Finally.
It's also a lot of fun. I think I ended up with, oh, I showed you a screenshot. I forgot the exact number. I ended up with like, was it like 75K Elder energy? Which I
Yeah,
got to
something like
dump on
that.
the Grand Exchange in one big batch. So that was really fun. That sort of made the whole process of getting all the Elder Chronicles
And it's sold,
feel
right?
it's sold almost instantly as well. That made it a little bit less painful, so that was enjoyable. I haven't done much otherwise. I log in for my dailies. I've been doing the Zodiac dailies. Those were nice. They make me do things I normally don't do. So I enjoyed that. But yeah, I haven't really been preparing for the double XP weekend because I'll be going on vacation on Saturday. So
To somewhere
no,
nice and
I'll
snowy.
somewhere nice and snowy, yes. We'll find out how much of the ski knowledge I have from 6 years ago has stuck.
Well, I mean, if you end up coming back early because you severely hurt yourself, then
So far, two colleagues of mine have gone on ski trips, and both of them have come back with broken limbs. So,
oh, ouch.
I've got to be careful, but yeah.
Fingers crossed for you then. Fingers
Fingers crossed.
crossed.
Yeah, not legs. Remember
Yeah.
pizza, French fries, pizza, French fries.
Yeah,
That what they, yeah, right.
no.
All right. Well, as for me this week, I have been, of course, preparing for the double XP weekend, of course, but in addition to that, just gathering divine energy because, like you said, Tannis, it's a real good moneymaker. It's a real good moneymaker these days.
That's great.
I dumped so many charge packs, so I, got almost 8 million worth of GP. I don't know how much that would be, but it's great money. I've just been doing that kind of in a bit of a holding pattern because I'm in a position right now where I can't mine anymore because if I did, I would get 99 mining.
Oh, well, and who would want to do that? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna have to, right?
Well,
Because
yeah.
I need to get stuff for Herblore flasks and whatnot. So,
You just don't want to catch the Maxen fever, but it's gonna happen.
something's gonna happen this double XP weekend, but
What? Huh?
I'm not maxing this double XP weekend, but I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna do something that is gonna be quite unorthodox for me.
Oh, uh-oh. Uh-oh. She ain't gonna kill something?
No. I have a number of 99s in sight, but that's all I'm gonna say.
Oh, nice. Nice.
But I do have a little bit of a contest that we are gonna be running this double XP weekend, and this is a RSBNB update contest, of course, open to anyone who's listening to this, and I'll of course open it up to Clan Quest, RSBNB as well. If you get a level this double XP weekend, just get any level that you want in game. Could be a 99, could be somewhere in between, a milestone, you name it. What I want you to do is I want you to post a picture on Twitter with the hashtag #UpdateDXPW, update double XP weekend, all one word, #UpdateDXPW. Post that picture on Twitter, say what you got, mention that you might be listening to RSBNB update or listening to the 24-hour special effect live stream or Tannis's live stream. Or even if you still use that thing at RSBNB called RuneWire, you can post them there with the same little tag, #DXPW. And after the double XP weekend is over, I'll be looking at all these and I will be choosing a couple of them, and there will be some random bonds that are given away for this.
Oh,
So
wow.
post your pictures on Twitter or on RuneWire, #DXPW, that's the hashtag, and we will see what happens with that throughout this weekend. Random prizes to be given away. So please do post, and I look forward to seeing what you guys get up to this double XP weekend. So that's my little
Do virtual
surprise to
levels
everyone.
count?
Nice,
Yes,
nice.
virtual levels do count.
Good. Because I'm
Yes.
maxed.
Yes. And maybe this might give you a reason to play and get a level somehow.
I might do some dungeons.
There you go. But aside from it, that's this episode of RSB&B Update. We'll be back next week to discuss, of course, the Clue Scroll overhaul. That's going to be a big one. I'm looking forward to that. You guys have anything else before we go?
No. Good luck and have fun on Double XP Weekend and donate to Special Effect.
And follow me on Twitter.
All right. Sounds good. And with that being said, if you guys want to chat with us in-game this Double XP Weekend, we're in Friends Chat Bits Bytes. And, of course, remember to post those level shots on Twitter or RuneWire with the hashtag UpdateDXPW. We'll see you next week for another episode of RSV&B Update.
See ya.
Later.